evening and welcome to the Tuesday, May 21st, 2013, City of Arroyo Grande Planning Commission meeting. May we have roll call, please?
Vice Chair Barnich?
Here.
Commissioner Keen?
Here.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Here.
Chair Ruth?
Here. And please join Lisa in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On any item that's within our jurisdiction but not on the agenda tonight. Is there anyone that would like to speak in the audience? All right, seeing none. Written communications, have we received anything after agenda preparation? I'm not showing anything.
No.
Okay, thank you. Consent agenda, approval of minutes. These are the minutes of May 7th. Does anyone have any questions, additions, deletions? John, you have something?
Yeah, my same old thing I pick on every week. On page 3 in the first paragraph, it says freestanding electrical boxes needed to be screened. And down in the resolution, I prefer it to say what it says in the resolution. It says electrical panels should be located inside the building. I think that's what I have been working for. And so if we could just change, have that say the same thing it says in the resolution, be perfect.
So under your comments, have it changed to that the electrical panel should be inside the building,
yes,
not just screened.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Vice Chair Barnich?
Yes.
Commissioner Keen?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Yes.
Chair Ruth?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, public hearing item 8A, consideration of amended conditional use permit 13-001, location at 1275 Ash Street at the Soto Sports Complex, applicant AT&T Mobility. And staff report, Kelly, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair Ruth. The project site is located within the Soto Sports Complex adjacent to Porter Field. In 2006, the Planning Commission approved a conditional use permit to allow Singular Wireless to install antennas on a 70-foot-tall light standard. And now AT&T has since acquired this facility and is proposing several amendments. And those include replacing the 6 existing panel antennas with upgraded antennas, installing 12 remote radio units and 2 surge suppressors, installing 2 new equipment cabinets on the existing concrete slab, and installing fiber transmission lines from the centered on aesthetics and maintenance of the existing facility. These concerns were addressed as part of the environmental review, resulting in several mitigation measures, which include requiring the color of the antennas to match the light standard, clearing weeds from the lease equipment area, installing a weed barrier, and placing crushed rock over that weed barrier, replacing the signage on the front gate of the lease equipment area, and replacing the geotextile drainage structure originally installed for the project. And there's more. Removing rust on the light pole, applying a treatment to inhibit future rusting, and then repainting the light pole. Replacing or repairing the galvanized steel sheet metal casing over the ground equipment located at the base of the pole. And then as an added condition, replacing the lights on the pole with energy efficient lights as specified by the Director of Public Works. So the purpose of the upgrade is to improve signal transmission coverage and capacity. regarding limiting public exposure to radio frequency energy. This slide shows a photo simulation of how the existing and proposed antennas will look on the light standard. The new antennas are 2 feet longer and 2 inches greater in depth. The 12 remote radio units and 2 surge suppressors are new additions, but are pretty small in comparison to the antennas. This next picture shows what the light standard looks like from a distance. There are obviously many lights in the sports fields out there, and tends to make it, I know it doesn't show it very much, yeah. But anyway, this is just to show you from a distance, with all the other light standards, it doesn't really make that big of a difference visually. So to summarize, the project will provide better, faster service for AT&T customers. The look of the facility will improve with implementation of the proposed mitigation measures, and the city will receive additional monthly rent from the upgraded facility. The City Council is expected to consider the So to conclude, staff and the Architectural Review Committee recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving amended conditional use permit 13-001. We'll be happy to answer questions.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
I have a question. Thanks. Kelly, so did you say that there was added mitigation measure of the efficient lights because it was in the staff advisory talked about that, but it wasn't in the mitigation measures? Is that what you said at the end?
Light efficiency?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a special condition of the Public Works Department. Okay. It wasn't a mitigation measure because it didn't have to do with aesthetics.
Okay. But it's so it's in here under, was it under the Public Works?
Public Works conditions.
Okay. And then my other question was on the, not my area of expertise, so interesting going through, but the site-safe attachment 3 that we were provided, I noticed on this site it stated that the AT&T Mobility LLC will be compliant. The site is not compliant based on FCC rules and regulations. In here to make the site compliant?
That would be something to
address
to the applicant's representative.
Okay, so just had a question how that worked. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? John?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I want to go back to this light change thing.
Mm-hmm.
It says to replace with high efficiency lights on that pole, just that pole?
Just that pole, yes.
Well, I'm going to need, I think there needs to be more discussion about that because the high-efficiency lights normally don't put out the same color as the rest of them, so the field wouldn't be exactly covered in the same thing. If they're going to change them, it needs to be investigated on what they can change to meet the criteria of the light coverage, the field coverage, and I'm sure you've done that, but it's not in here. In the resolution in section attachment A, I don't find that in here. Even under Public Works, it's just not, the light thing is just not.
Kristen Barnett has an announcement.
I'm going to leave for about 30 minutes for something, and then I'll be back as soon as I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll have to add that then. Sorry about that.
So you may want to consider wording a motion to include the light efficiency after, consultation. The Public Works Director to make sure that the field lighting remains.
If it's off a lot, then they need to do the whole all of them for the whole field. That's
right. Point.
Thank you.
And I have no questions beyond that. And would the applicant like to speak? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Tricia Knight, representing AT&T Wireless, and I don't know if anyone heard about the great accident that was on the highway, but I was on my way. It was both lanes closed, and so I don't have a copy of that. I wasn't able to bring my files. Can I see that? So if you, and I'll hand this back to you. So on page, or under 3.2, it indicates that it's not in compliance. And the reason for that is that the signage that is required by law for anyone that is working in and around that facility, which is on the page 6, it looks like Verizon and AT&T have some signage that's due. Right. For our particular facility, that signage is part of the conditions of approval. Those need to be, are part of the mitigation measures. They need to be upgraded as they're not very visible, and they've degraded over time. And it looks like Verizon is due one yellow caution sign as well. So those are the signages mandated by the FCC, and it looks like it's not there.
Okay, so that was just my question. It looked like there were some easy fixes, but I didn't necessarily see them in this. So that's why I wanted to make sure. Are they in the
For AT&T, they are, yes. Okay. One of the mitigation measures that Ms. Heffernan brought up on the overhead was that the signage is faded over time with the sun and everything. So we need to get all our signage updated and current in both English and Spanish. Be right here.
Thank you. And I would like to open this up to public comment. And seeing no one to comment, I'll bring it back to us for our own comments. Lisa, did you say you went to the ARC meeting?
I just wanted to let the commission know I was present at the ARC meeting where they discussed both of these, and they seemed in favor of it, thought it was a needed aesthetic upgrade, I think, as well as technological upgrade. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys have any.
All right. And do you have your own comments on this?
I think it's needed, and I think it. I'm ready to move forward with it. So. Mm-hmm.
Jennifer?
I don't have any issues with the upgrades. Honestly, I never knew there. I never looked up there, so I never realized there was a cell tower there. I thought that was great. So I'm sure it needs to be upgraded. I agree with John on the lighting. It seems like it needs to be make sure at least that's thought out or that it's balanced. So other than that, I'm ready to move forward.
All right. John? Okay. I do am in favor of. I will entertain a motion on this matter.
I move we adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Vore Grande approving conditional use permit 03001 applied for by AT&T Mobility located at 1275 A Street with the addition of the lighting research and add it to the condition in Exhibit A.
I'll second.
And so that's the replacing lights with energy efficient lights while
sure
taking into consideration. Yeah. So the public works director will be the one that makes that determination. All right. Do we have a motion and a second? Any discussion? Mm-mm. All right. We are ready for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Yes.
Vice Chair Barnich? Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Chair Ruth?
2, location 300 Reservoir Road, City of Reservoir Number 1, applicant AT&T Mobility, and Kelly again.
Yes, this is cell site number 2. This project is located at the city's water tank property on Reservoir Road, right above Valley View Academy School. Singular Wireless installed a 35-foot tall monopine in 2006 at this site, and then Verizon Wireless recently constructed a 38-foot tall monopine, which is about 70 feet away from the Singular facility. So now AT&T has acquired the Singular facility similar to SOTA project and is now, again, processing upgrades. So what they're doing, they are installing 6 additional antennas below the existing antennas and 12 new remote radio units, installing 2 equipment cabinets on the existing concrete slab, and installing fiber transmission lines from the new equipment cabinets to the new antennas. The existing lease area is about 800 square feet in size and can house the additional equipment. The branches of the existing monopine are considered to be in poor condition, do not adequately screen the antennas, and the color of the faux needles has like a blue tinge to it that doesn't look very natural. The staff advisory committee considered the project in March and provided draft conditions that mostly addressed aesthetics of the existing monopine, and these have been included as mitigation measures in the resolution, and require that, one, all existing branches shall be replaced with branches that extend past the antennas and with needle coloration that matches the surrounding pine trees. The plan shall show a heavy branch count that adequately screens the antennas. Socks made of cloth material and interwoven with simulated pine needles shall be placed over the antennas. Number 2, the applicant shall submit pine needle and sock camouflage samples of the monopine for verification of accurate color. And then 3, all accessory equipment shall be screened from public view. As with the previous AT&T project, the purpose of this upgrade is to improve signal transmission coverage and capacity in the South County area, which will provide faster service to AT&T customers. This is a simulation of how the existing and proposed monopine will look. The new branches extend out much further, as you can see, and the overall branch count is much greater, helping to screen the antennas. And then this slide just shows more detail about the proposed branch structure. Because City Council originally approved this facility in 2006, Council must consider the proposed modifications and make a decision. The City has determined that the project amendments are within the parameters of the existing lease agreement, and therefore a lease amendment is not necessary. Likewise, there will be no additional City revenue in the form of increased rent with this proposed project. So in conclusion, staff and the Architectural Review Committee recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions for staff? John? Lisa? Jennifer? All right, does the applicant have anything that you would like to say?
I'm just available to answer any questions. I think the presentation spoke for itself. It's going to be a definite improvement to that tree. So.
All right, any questions for the applicant? No, okay. I don't either, thank you. All right, does anyone from the public want to speak on this? All right, seeing none, we will come back to us. And again,
it's the same thing. I was at the ARC meeting once again. It sounded like a needed improvement, especially make the make it look a little more natural, I guess, as opposed to the blue leaves. So I'm in favor of it and ready to move forward and happy to answer any questions anyone has.
Jennifer? Yeah, I don't have any questions. It looks great. Looks the tree will look a little more alive than it does in the other picture. So I think it's a good improvement. This now, Kelly, just a real quick question. This goes to council for approval, but the other one didn't. Is that just location or?
Yeah, it goes to council because the original conditional use permit was approved by council. So
okay,
normally it wouldn't have to.
In a motion.
I move the Planning Commission adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande recommending that the City Council approve amending conditional use permit number 13-002 applied for by AT&T Wireless located at 300 Reservoir Road.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Ready for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Spiro?
Yes.
Chair Ruth?
Yes. Okay, next item is 8C, consideration of adoption of a resolution recommending that the City Council adopt an ordinance amending sections 1604070 and 1644050 of the City of Rio Grande Municipal Code regarding floodplain management. Location is citywide and applicant is City of Rio Grande. And staff report.
It actually came to light that we had some information that was missing in the staff report, and what we'd recommend right now is that you continue the item until the next date so we can include that information.
Certain of June 4th. We'll schedule it accordingly.
So I'm just going to go ahead and move that that we what did we say? Continue this to a date certain of June 4th.
I'll second if I need to. We need a second. Second.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay. So we have a motion and a second. So we're ready for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Spiro?
Yes.
Chair Ruth?
Yes. Thank you. All right. Yeah. We would like to take a 10-minute break right now. Okay, so we'll be back in 10 minutes. Coming back from a break for the May 21st Planning Commission meeting, and we are on item 9A, it's a non-public hearing item, review of conditional use permit case number 93-508 for Bob's Car Wash.
reschedule a public hearing to review the existing conditional use permit. The original project was approved and constructed in 1993 with 4 self-service wash bays, 1 touchless wash bay. Hand prepping by employees prior to entering the touchless wash bay was allowed by an interpretation in 1995. In 1997, a CUP amendment added the use of auto detailing to one bay. The current operation is comprised of 3 self-service wash bays, 1 hand prep prior to the touchless wash bay, and 1 detailing bay. The original site plan shows marked queuing lanes for 14 cars, a marked formal entrance off East Grand, and a marked exit at South Elm Street. The car wash was approved with a site plan that included a focused entry from East Grand Avenue and an exit onto South Elm Street. The car wash also showed 2 open access points to the shopping center that were not labeled for use. The conditions of approval. Patrons currently utilize the adjacent shopping center for queuing space while waiting to use the car wash facilities. Observations indicate the patrons are mainly waiting for the hand prep services at the touchless wash bay. An informal sample last Saturday between 2 and 3 p.m. observed 18 vehicles using the internal access queue. The rate of processing equates to just over 3 minutes for each of car for this single wash bay. The adjacent detailing bay was estimated during the amendment evaluation to process 9 cars between 8 to 5 p.m., which is roughly 1 car per hour. It is unknown if any vehicles queue on the shopping center waiting to use the self-service bays. However, patrons have been observed coming in the exit to use open self-serve bays. Though the site plan shows on-site drying areas, it is common to see patrons utilize the adjacent parking lot to park while drying their vehicles. The business lacks current conditions or operations, changes to building codes, and if there is changed or new information regarding potential impacts to public health, safety, and welfare. It's recommended that the Planning Commission review conditional permit case number 93508 for Bob's Car Wash and find that good cause exists to schedule a public hearing pursuant to Development Code section 16.16.050F2.
Okay, thank you. Questions for staff. John, do you have questions?
Not of staff right now, thank you.
Jennifer?
No questions, thank you.
And Lisa?
So I just want to clarify. So what we're doing today is simply saying that we'd like it to come back for a full review and public hearing at that point. We're not making any findings otherwise.
Is that correct? Just finding if it's good cause to schedule a public hearing.
Okay.
And one question I had asked of John, but I just okay. I just wanted to make that clear that we're not imposing a burden on them for that. Okay, I don't think I have any questions of staff right now. I would like to invite a representative from Bob's Car Wash to speak. I know it's a non-public hearing item, but I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Thank you. John Belcher, I'm an attorney working with the project owner, Bob Diaz, and Bob Barron, the former owner of the car wash, is also sitting with us to answer historic questions. although looks to me like the staff covered the history pretty well for you, and they've got all the CUP and the amendments, and they even outlined them today in their presentation. First, I want to indicate that this is a really rare event. I mean, I've been a land use lawyer since longer than I want to really admit, and I've never, ever seen a conditional use permit in any city opened up for reexamination. Maybe in Arroyo Grande this happens. And from throwing the thing open again for reexamination. Sometimes conditional use permits have sunset clauses or reexamination clauses to see how conditions are going, and maybe there'd be a five-year review. That does happen. But I've never seen a planning commission basically threaten a property owner with a reexamination of his use permit. So I guess the first place I looked to see, well, what are the findings that the commission is supposed to make if you're going to take someone's use permit and throw it open for public discussion and action, which is a potential for revocation, modification, ask them to rebuild a structure, to bring it into modern building codes, basically the kitchen sink. And so your code does offer some guidance on this, and I don't think this was really highlighted enough for you at the staff level. Because they mentioned that, well, maybe if modern building codes have come into effect, that's a basis for reopening a electrical outlets have been upgraded with grounding to meet the current electrical code, you know. And I think maybe what they're – I don't know why they're aiming at that, but it's not found in the ordinance that by which you're supposed to make findings to bring it back to a full hearing to basically examine this man's livelihood permit. What it says is that you may – review a conditional use permit to ensure that it is being operated in a manner consistent with conditions of approval or in a manner that is not detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare, or materially injurious to properties in the vicinity. So there's three prongs, and if you find, quote, sufficient evidence to warrant a full examination, a public hearing date shall be set. So this is a finding that you're to make tonight based on evidence, that is facts, that you, like a jury, are going to make and determinations about this property in the three areas. One, approval. To me, this business is being operated the same way it has been for many, many years. They got amendments to their use permit to bring the new uses into conformity with their use permit, and they seem to me to be in perfect compliance with the conditions of approval, which included the use of the drive aisle on the neighboring shopping center property, which is expressly set forth in the use permit, the original one. The second prong is that it has been operated in a way that is not detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. So I didn't hear or see any evidence in that staff report that says that Bob's Car Wash, right now, that you have evidence that Bob's Car Wash is detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. So I guess that's an inquiry that you might want to make. I think there's a bigger picture going on here that has to do with the future, and we do need to address it, and I have some suggestions for you. But as to the way the car wash operates today, I don't know that you can make such a finding that it's detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. onto the property. He's never had a complaint from customers or employees who use nearby restaurants for food and beverage and restroom facilities over the years. But if the commission or the staff feels that a bathroom is vital to the health, safety, and welfare, and even if they just think it might be, he's willing to start the process, and he's going to start the process to install a bathroom in the facility. The third prong is that Bob's Car Wash would be materially injurious to properties in the vicinity. And again, I don't see evidence for that. I don't even see an argument for it. The only thing that seems to be hanging around lurking is that it could be that if Bob's Car Wash sticks to its claim of a legal right to continue to use the drive aisle, that it could be injurious to the developer's plans to go forward and eliminate the drive aisle. I guess that could be interpreted to be injurious, but injurious to what? A neighboring property's hope of for really decades now. So I was hoping I could put this up on the screen, but I don't think we have that type of a setup. Do you? Can you project this?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, while he's adjusting that, I wanted to speak to a couple other points. It's my hope that the commission will take a different direction than making findings that this property is injurious to neighboring property owners or a threat to public health, safety, and welfare. And that is to give us a chance to meet with staff and the neighboring property owner of the shopping center and discuss a way in which that drive aisle can be retained in the project at some financial cost to Mr. Diaz. And he's been willing and is willing to pay for that privilege. The type of equipment that have to be built, constructed, and installed. So the discussion that has not happened yet and should happen is a business meeting between Mr. Diaz and the shopping center owner, whereby Mr. Diaz pays money to retain the right that he believes he has legally. And I've discussed this with staff. I think they're open to this idea of at least introducing the parties to that discussion. Certainly the city doesn't sort of have a dog in the fight, right? But they certainly are asking us to participate here tonight and to re-examine the use permit, and then the shopping center has some very serious land use decisions before the city. So the city is engaged in this whether they chose to be or not. And I know they have a sincere interest in trying to help the parties work through these issues. So I would ask the Planning Commission to consider, before they take the rather, I would say, unique and fairly serious action of reopening someone's use permit and making the evidentiary findings that go along with that action, allow us a period of time to meet with the city staff and with the shopping center proponents and see if we can't reach a business accommodation, a financial accommodation that would leave the car wash operating in the manner in which it currently does. And of course the commission will have another review of the shopping center project in which to provide input, landscaping, and there would be input from the commission yet to go. But there needs to be a business discussion. So far, that hasn't been able to happen because the message sent from the city to my client has been, move your car wash, or we're going to take a hard look at this at the Planning Commission level. And now, of course, the hard look is, gee, we're going to relook at your conditional use permit. I think based on what might happen if the shopping center was to go through as planned, not really on the basis of what are the conditions there today. To me, that's not fair, and, you know, based on the findings that are required under your code for a review, a full review of a conditional use permit, I just don't think those findings are present. Maybe you want to give us a chance to have that meeting, and maybe you want to consider the staff bringing you back some hard evidence in the way of statements, facts, examples. I don't know. I mean, if you were on a jury, would you say that you had evidence in front of you that this project is detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare? Would you say that you have evidence that it's materially injurious to properties in the vicinity? Do you think you have evidence that it's being operated in a manner inconsistent with its conditions of approval? I mean, we don't think so, and we don't see that evidence in front of you. So I'm going to just close on another thought that Mr. Diaz is not new to the area in terms of business. His family's been here since 1978. He has four daughters that have all located in this area. He lives here. He's got a business called Pacific Rain Water Trucking Company that currently provides water services in the California Valley for the solar projects. This is a well-entrenched, long-standing business owner who doesn't have anything but continued commitment to the community in mind. So he's going to back that up by initiating the process to construct bathrooms on the project site and put money on the table to solve the issue of the drive aisle. And I expect that's where we're going to end up at some point anyway, because if we truly believe we have a legal right to continue to use that drive aisle, there will be legal processes by which that can be determined. And in those legal processes will be opportunities for the parties to discuss how to solve that issue from a financial standpoint. So in closing, I just want to urge you not to take the fairly drastic step of findings to reopen the conditional use permit, at least not at this point, and urge the staff to have us work with the shopping center project applicant on a business solution that would sort of correct all these continuing hearings that you're having to go through on this drive aisle issue. Anyway, it's my expectation that that could result and a very positive outcome, and my expectation that if you reopen this hearing on the use permit, that that will not really advance the common interest of the shopping center and Bob's Car Wash of being successful businesses in the community. Anyway, I know the two Bobs would be happy to give some history, answer questions, and see if we can participate somehow in your decision making. So, thank you.
Are you available to answer questions now? If anyone has any questions,
yeah.
John, any questions?
No.
And let me clarify. Commissioner Barnett was gone for a part of this discussion. She is going to ask questions and make comments, but she cannot vote on this matter because she missed part of it. So that's what her status.
I thought I was repetitive enough that I would have covered it all twice. You know, so. She didn't hear the staff presentation, but that was written. Okay.
Kristen?
You maybe went over this, but how long do the employees work? How long are the shifts?
Okay, so the answer is 8, 9, or 10 hours per day. How about you come up the podium, and then we can hear your answer.
Well, and the reason I'm asking this is because of the bathroom issue, but that maybe was covered. Are you putting bathrooms in? Is that sort of a...
Yeah, we're willing to do that, yes. It's okay. Been a topic in the past as well, and,
okay.
I mean, if that's an issue for everybody today after, you know, the 20 years of doing what we're doing now, then we'll work with that.
Well, I don't know, because I've never worked at a place where they didn't have bathrooms. Mm-hmm. So where do these people that work 8 or 9 hours, do they hold it till they have to go to lunch?
Don't we wish we could do that? No, they use the restaurants next door. We're probably the single largest customer of Jack in the Box in town, and so my guys are over there all the time.
Okay.
And for the most part, that is the answer.
Okay. And so they're working, you said, 8, 9 hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're open that long. I mean, the guys are typically working 8 hours in each one of them shift, but, oh, sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Once in a while.
Okay.
So the correct answer is yes, they have lunch break.
Yeah, correct.
And then the access has never been tested, the closing off, the access has never been tested?
Not to my knowledge.
Not really, okay.
No.
And...
But I think there was information shared just a little earlier. I think someone here did a survey over the past weekend. I don't know who was mentioning that a moment ago, where there were, was it 18 cars that I heard that were lined up, you know, waiting to get in. And, you know, that buildup is only... for the hand wash operation that we have. The queuing for the coin bays is never an issue, hardly ever an issue. It's the coin bay business that we're talking about tonight. I'm sorry, that the hand wash business that we're talking about tonight.
Okay, and so then that brings up another question. I had a conversation yesterday with the mayor, and he had sort of brainstormed an idea of opening the two right-hand stalls for the hand wash, so that you could queue more cars there, and using the other two on the left for the coin-operated. And that way you could get 6 in total queued up for the hand wash. How's that sound?
It's, you know, I don't view that as a good business decision, so we're going to double our manpower there, and we're not going to increase our throughput in washed cars. We're still going to do the same amount with twice the labor. And, you know, 6 doesn't solve our problem. You know, I think we were just talking that there were 18 in line. That's a typical, you know, summer Thursday, Friday, Saturday event. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd thought about that myself in the past in trying to increase my business. But, you know, we just aren't at that level to need that.
Okay. Let's see. And then... Mr. Belcher, or is it Belcher? Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Brought up the fact that you would like to have a meeting with the developer and staff and try to work through this. But I'm sort of frustrated because we've been here and we've been here and we've been here. We did a pre-app, and you showed up to some meetings and you didn't show up to some. And I don't know why all of a sudden everybody wants to get together and work it out, whereas 6 months ago, 3 months ago, because now we're at this point where we need to do something so that, you know, they can move on, and we've all talked about why we feel they should be able to. So why now?
It's not now. You know, I've probably been to 7 or 8 meetings with city people overall, Teresa's office many times. I believe Steve is the city manager. You know, he pulled us all together and met, you know, and tried to figure out how we could relocate me. And, you know,
with the developers of the shopping center,
yes,
over there, too?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that's just not going to work. You know, the developer wants to talk about, I'll buy your property at a given price and you buy my property at a given price, which leaves me to go spend a couple $1 million to put a new car wash on that new property, which is not, you know, we're not interested in doing that. So, we've been involved a lot, you know, just, I mean, I come from Los Angeles to be here tonight. Every night I come from Los Angeles. I have a business there as well, and I work there during the week, so a little bit inconvenient for me to be here, but important enough to do so. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like we've just begun this fight, obviously. And,
okay. I think those are all my questions.
Thank you, Kristen. Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Yeah. Mr. Belcher, there was 3 points you talked about, and you talked about how you felt the drive aisle or the existing access was part of. Do you have those points again? Can you reiterate that for me? You talked about kind of the findings and pulling the conditional use permit to look at, and one was operating within its guidelines and within the guidelines that it, the ability that it goes on, has access from the adjacent property.
Right. There's three ways in which you can make findings based on evidence that this permit should be reexamined. One of those would be inconsistency with existing conditions of approval. And my point was that, as for the drive aisle, it's already in the conditions that relate to the approval that he has. So there isn't anything going on at this car wash that isn't already permitted by the use permit. So I'm confused as to how you could make a finding of inconsistency with the use permit. And he's got a hand wash function, and he's got the coin-op functions, and he's got the drive aisle. These are all things that are in the use permits. And I mean, there's some speculation that maybe he'll lose the drive aisle by the actions of the city or the next-door neighbor or whatever. But that hasn't happened yet, and I'm his lawyer, and I'm going to do my best to make sure it doesn't happen. Now, my recommendation is that we simply buy it from them. But so far, the city hasn't been, staff, which has organized these meetings, has not been open to that idea. Their suggestion is, let's get together, and you move, and you spend $2 million to redo your business. And that would be a good solution for everybody. So we need to have a different discussion with this developer, one whereby we say, look, we're all stuck in this position together. Let's sit down. We'll pay you to continue to use this drive aisle. And that will solve all these issues, and you can use the money on landscaping in your new center, and we will bring you, you know, a few hundred customers, you know, to your shopping center to go shopping at Starbucks and the grocery store. That conversation has not yet happened.
Okay, well, and I appreciate that. I asked that because when I read back through the permit history, and where I get stuck on is it says that the elimination of this access, and this is, I'm referring to the conditional use permit case 93508, and on the bottom of that it says elimination of this access will not adversely affect project design or operation. So multiple times through this, it talks about the queuing of 14 cars on property, and they acknowledge the fact that you were using the access, but that to know that one day that could be closed, and that it states in here that it won't adversely affect the project that's being approved, meaning the car wash. So I don't want to see things get pulled back, but we're assuming then that the elimination of that is going to cause a problem. But that's why we're here, because it says in here that...
Well, it says it won't cause a problem. Mm-hmm. That's what that says.
So what that's saying to me is that the project is operating, it can operate on its own property, and that even if that gets closed, it won't adversely affect the property. That's how I read it, mm-hmm. that project, the car wash, stands on its own. You're using the access now, but it says in here that it doesn't depend on that access to use.
Right, but the point is that in what way is the car wash operating right now that would warrant a finding that it is operating inconsistent with its conditions of approval?
Well, I piggyback on that? Because it's the same thing that Jennifer's saying is, when we look at the site plan on your original conditional use permit, your architect or the owner or staff came up with 14 cars are going to queue, and here's how they're going to queue. Well, human nature has lied to us. They're not queuing the way the planning commission, the city staff, the owner thought they would queue. So that's not anybody's fault. That's just they don't do what you said they were going to do. So right there, it's changed.
But they're using a drive aisle.
Okay.
And that was anticipated in the use permit. So
it said it could go away.
Okay, let's Jennifer finish her questions and her way, and I think we're all asking the same thing, but let's let Jennifer finish.
Well,
and then it'll come back to me, and I'll make sure we all get that, because I think that is a central question.
Yeah, and I think the way, and I asked at the last meeting, is we're assuming it's going to cause a problem. And, you know, intelligence tells us, yeah, if you have 18 cars, it's probably going to be a problem. But that hasn't happened yet because it hasn't been closed. To me, when I read all the amendments and all the meeting notes that were there, to me it says the project is operating on its own. It doesn't depend on access from that. So whether we wait until we close it and decide it's a problem and then look at it, or we just know it's going to be a problem and something needs to be modified. So that's why I asked you. It seemed like you were saying it differently in that the drive, let's not use drive aisle because I think that's confusing to me, because when you say drive aisle, I'm thinking of what was proposed with the shopping center. I'm just strictly talking about access. So you were saying the access is being used, therefore it's part of the project. And the way I read it is that the access was being used, but it specifically said in here it could be closed at any time, that it's and that the car wash didn't need it. So that's what I'm trying to decipher. And we don't, that hasn't happened as a problem yet because it hasn't been closed.
Right.
So.
Right. I agree with that.
Okay.
But there are two queuing issues that we're talking about. You know, queuing for the hand wash is the one that we're talking about, really. That's the one that's a problem. The 14 cars that the site plan shows queuing for the coin wash bays, non-issue.
Right.
You know, those people are on our property, and it's not an issue. But the volume requires the queuing that was shown in the example over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Were you the owner when the 95 amendment came through? To,
no, okay. Mr. Barron, okay. Was the owner then.
So, because I just wonder, and also on the site plan, is there access around adjacent to the shopping center in between? You have the five bays. Can you drive through? I believe you can.
Not really.
No.
No, not safely.
Because it shows here on the old site plan that you can.
I think it would probably be called fire access is what it would be called. It's not a drive through. I've damaged my own cars trying to go through there, so that's why.
It's difficult.
It's pretty, yeah, it's not going to be traffic.
Okay. I think that's all my questions right now.
Okay, Lisa.
Okay, yes. So how many employees do you currently have at the?
Once again, we're seasonal and between one and four, depending on.
Okay, so it's not beyond the four employees that was approved there. And then, the bathroom issue. I know I was curious about that, too, what kind of shifts and how long. I think that's covered. And I agree. I mean, typically we don't go back and say, okay, you got to meet today's standards when you were approved a long time ago, although it might be a nice gesture, I guess, for your employees. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that confuses me, too, in here, it says that it will be able to accommodate approximately 9 cars per day. And it sounds like you see a lot more.
No, I don't know what 9 cars. I think they're talking about 9 cars a day in the aisle that's depicted as the detail bay,
okay,
which is aisle 5, the furthest westward side.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get used very much because mm-hmm. the cars are blocking that mm-hmm. coming into the hand mm-hmm. wash station. At night, you know, after 6 oh. o'clock when we close, then that is used a lot.
Okay, because I think I'm kind of stuck on the same place they are. When I read the resolution that was approved, the resolution... you know, that whereas finding 3 says that the site is suitable for the type intensity and proposed because adequate queuing is provided. And so I'm just wondering, is there adequate queuing or not?
Well, we can sum it up with numbers.
Yeah.
We can queue 3 cars on our mm-hmm. property for the hand wash bay.
Mm-hmm.
We heard earlier that it's 18 and more, depending upon what day and the weather and mm-hmm. the things that drive our business. So is it going to impact my business adversely? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's devastating for us.
Because I think we'd all like your business to thrive and stay here. I mean, nobody wants to put you out of business. My concern is with the... I mean, we've had lots of discussions with the developers as well, and I know their plans that we approved don't have that drive aisle there. And so, I'd love to say, let's get you all together and talk about it and find a solution, but I have a feeling that might just not go anywhere, because my understanding is, you know, they have approved plans that don't have, well, they'd have to move,
if we look at the Omni Group's suggestion,
mm-hmm.
their suggestion is move your building over 12 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think should happen. And we're willing to buy that property because the argument was, well, the shopping center needs to maintain it. They need to insure it. They're mm-hmm. liable. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to be. I'm not asking mm-hmm. them to give me anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that we need that property to operate our business as it operates today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to buy that from them at a reasonable cost.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody moves down the road. We're all good citizens at that
mm-hmm.
point.
But this discussion hasn't been had before
No, it was had in here. Had in here. I don't know how many hours of that we've done in here. And everyone voted to cast that aside and move forward by blocking my entrance. So
I think,
not that it's new.
I don't think that we knew you were willing to pay for it, because you weren't present when we had the Omni study. And so I know my concern was I didn't want to make somebody else responsible for
property. I don't see that happening in anyone's case. You know, no one comes in here wanting someone to give them property.
Well, that was kind of the city. That was what the city was proposing at that time.
some in the city know better, I think. But nevertheless, that's not my position. You know, and I've said it at every meeting that I've spoke and others than these, that I want the shopping center to be renovated. I want it more than anybody. I mean, it's going to help my business more than likely. But I don't think it's fair to reduce my business by probably 70% so we get a shopping center upgrade, when there's a solution that we can use and make people happy. You know, the story that I heard in here the last two meetings that I've come to, where if we move that building over 12 feet, it's non-leasable? Please. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not even, an intelligent conversation to me.
Okay, thank you. And I appreciate you being here and answering questions, because I know in the past there were a lot of, I know at that one meeting I could think, I wish you were here, because we really wanted to hear from you. So thank you. I know it's a drive from LA. Okay, that's all I have.
Okay. This is probably going to sound repetitive, but I just want to try to get a clear answer. John said something a couple meetings ago that I think is very important, which is we are not in the business of designing things. That is not our business. Or to arbitrate between two different business owners. And we don't want to do that. I know I was a big stickler on the safety issue because I wanted to make sure that there was not going to be any queuing on Grant. And in my opinion, it was not the shopping center's problem to make sure that there make your own solution without, not here, not at the Planning Commission meetings, because that's not our purview. I'm looking for you all to come to us and say, does this meet your guidelines? And we can say yes or no. So I don't think we should be arbitrating whether someone gets to buy someone's land or doesn't get to buy it. We just get to say what you have proposed that's within your rights, yes or no. And so it looks like you've kind of got painted into a corner is what's happened by not solving these things beforehand. So my question to you is, if you do not have that access from the shopping center, if you only have the grand entrance access, can you guarantee that we're not going to have any queuing on Grand? Can you run
Absolutely
your business
not.
Without queuing?
How would I do it? How would the city
all
do it?
All I know is that that's what your conditions of approval say, that you could. It says that if there's no access, that you can queue on site.
That is inaccurate. Talk for 2 hours until you get a spot here? Absolutely not. I mean, it's unreasonable to have that kind of discussion. There's a solution to the problem. I don't know why we talk about queuing on Grand. You know, we talk about, and I suggest that we block off the aisle and let's watch what happens. We don't need to do that. I know what's going to happen. You folks now know that what's going to happen. You've kind of seen. So I don't think we should take that route. You know, we know what we need to do. We need to maintain that access in order for this business to operate the way it operates today. It's operated from the very first day that it opened this way, and it continues to operate that way today.
Okay. If there were signs on Grand saying, you know, no stopping allowed, what would that do to your business?
What would that do to your police department? You know.
So too.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it's going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to devastate my business. You know, that's. I guess we can do the math. What is the difference between having 18 cars in the queue and having three?
And the queuing is for the hand wash,
only,
is that?
Only.
And when was the hand wash added?
On the day we opened.
Okay.
On the day
when
the business opened, it was a touchless. been there really since conception. I bought the business in 2000 and surely before that.
Okay. And I think that those are all the questions I have for right now. Does anyone else have any follow-up questions?
Yes.
John?
When you installed the pre-wash thing, you talked about four employees and then later come back with an amendment for the detailing part. You didn't add any employees for the detailing?
We don't do any detailing. Our permit allows that for us, but we aren't in that business right now. You know, and this is kind of my conversation. The thrust of that business, as you all know that live here, is the hand wash business. And so we don't do any of that at this point.
And through the years, I've seen it grow and prosper mm-hmm. on your hand wash part of the business, and
yeah.
that's what's caused the problem now compared to what the approval was.
And I recycled water on my property at this time.
I noticed in here that the estimate was 2 acre feet, rounded off 2 acre feet, and I just probably.
Well,
it has increased like it has, it's probably a lot more than that.
I don't know it in acre feet. I know it in dollars. You know, that's how I see it. But, you know, what has happened over time is we've made the hand wash much more efficient than it was in when it was first there. And so and part of that was for being able to process more vehicles through there and also water conservation. It's a lot more efficient today and from an electrical point of view and also water consumption. You know, and it would be interesting for me to go back and kind of put a spreadsheet together and say, okay, we were washing X amount of cars in 2002. We're doing this now, and what is the water consumption? It may not be as much as we think. I haven't looked at it that much. I can tell you that
I have no idea.
Yeah, my costs haven't gone up.
I just see the business expand year after year.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's causing part of the killing problem is you're successful.
That is true, and that is true. You know, and when my water bill goes up, my electric bill goes up, and my labor bill goes up, you know, we better be pushing more cars through there. You know, we don't get to keep raising the price. And so that's how we survive, is by trying to reduce our costs.
Well, because I see the queuing problem and the shopping center closing that off, there's a huge health and safety problem with your business because of the lack of queuing. That's just one of the examples that has to be addressed. And the only way that we can address those kind of things is to have the CUP revisited. Not the only thing. One of the other major things was the bathroom, but you're already going to address that, and probably because we talked about wanting to do the CUP.
Well, no, that conversation has been had with me. Every time No, I'm not. I don't take it as that.
Saying that it's been a problem for a long, long time. Immediately when you went to four employees, I think that triggered having bathrooms. Where do your employees park?
They park in the shopping center for the most part. Some of my people ride bikes, you know, so it's not a huge problem. Half of them, I would say, ride bicycles.
If you were able to purchase that property for that lane, then still all your customers would have to go through his property to get to your lane.
You know, I view it as that being the case, but I view that as a plus. You know, if you had a business and I could put 500 cars a day in your parking lot, I should be your best friend. You know, I should be able to, you should want me to drive down your driveway. You know, the piece that is in question because they want to put the building up next to my property, you know, is the 12-foot issue. And I don't know what they're going to want to talk about. If I need to suggest that we will buy the perimeter of the where the shopping center meets my property, I don't know. I don't know what that's going to be.
I strongly disagree with you when you say that the queuing in the parking lot was always permitted, and it says that in here. It does not say that in here. It says that the opening is permitted. It doesn't say anything about queuing cars over there. And that's just not a true statement according to the documents here. That's all I have.
Kristen, you have another question? Did you have another photograph that I missed when I was gone with the 18 cars that someone's talking about that they took a photo over the weekend or something?
It was just an observation.
Oh, yes. It was an observation. I do have some site photos of other time when that's occurred. Well, so can you tell me the observation that I missed that you talked about?
We had a neighborhood services technician observe during 2 to 3 on Saturday, and he observed 18 cars queuing in an hour.
Okay. Oh, so over an hour, not 18 cars at one time, like all lined up in the parking lot?
Just in that one access, so that's not total trips to the car wash. It was just an observation from that one access point.
So it was being used continuously pretty much for an hour, is what, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Liz.
One more question. So do you think, and it seems like, and I very much agree with Liz, in the terms of site design and what needs to happen between property owners and that stuff is out of our hands. Do you feel that is your plan to go back to the shopping owners and revisit this again with maybe some new offers on your part to try to make access work?
Yeah, I think that's what John was suggesting, you know, getting the city staff involved again. You know, we've had that meeting once when we talked about relocating me, which I was I entertained that conversation, and we looked at moving my business back to where the Domino's business currently exists, me selling them my property, me buying property from them.
That's what I thought you mentioned is, if we have time before you do that, are you going to go to the property owner and potentially there could be some arrangement between the two of you to come up with a solution?
Absolutely.
Okay. Lisa? I have a question maybe because I just don't understand process. Do you need to have city staff involved before you talk to the parking or the shopping center developer?
I
mean,
think it's a necessity. John has suggested that. I think that you folks talked and thought that was a good idea. I mean, I'm open to either method. I've met with Phil, I can't tell you how many times. Okay. You know, we own half of the girls' restaurant by going over and having meetings talking about what is going to happen. Much of that didn't bear much fruit, but, you know, I mean, we're surely there's a open communication between he and I.
That's good to hear. All right. Any further questions of the applicant? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak?
we sat down, we talked, and I told Williams exactly what I was going to do. And, you know, he was a good businessman. I mean, he listened to you and everything else like that. And so anyways, I told him I'd like to have that access, you know, to stack the cars up if the business got good enough that, you know, we had a line of cars. And he agreed. And so anyway, later on when we opened it up, he used to walk by and he'd say, I got six white wet ones over there in my yard, you know, where the people had washed and then they went over and used these facilities, you know. But it was all done, it was done innocently. I mean, we tried to do the right thing and everything else like that. And then I built the other one down on 3rd and Grand. And, you know, that was sort of an ugly-looking car wash and stuff like that. Well, I went to Mark Vasquez, and when I got the permit to build this, and I told him, I says, look, I want to build him a really good-looking car wash, and instead of just a square building, you know. And this one here costs 40% more to build than the one down on 3rd and Grand. Everything I did with the approval of the Planning Commission. I went to the Planning Commission. Mark and I went, and we designed this car wash so it would look beautiful. And, you know, we tried to do everything right. And I'd hate to, and then, like William says, you know, come on in, you know. And, you know, they got the same, with the new vet shop that opened up, their employees were parking over there in the parking lot. And I heard he had them towed away. But, you know, I don't, it just seems like the guy doesn't want to work with people. I don't know. It seems like he's got, what, 7 acres there? He can move his building over and sell Bob that property there. You know, I wish I would have bought it from Williams because I know he would have sold it to me. But at that time there, we didn't, you know, think of any problem that we were going to have, you know. And the car wash has done a lot of good. It put 4 kids through college. You know, Cal Poly, so. Okay.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak? Okay, then I will bring this back to us.
Revisit the CEP, pushing it down the road for more negotiation is not going to solve the problem. When they come back with that solution, then that's when we'll hear it and make a finding that that's the proper way to run that business. And right now, I'm not going to say I don't see it happening, but in fact, I hope it does happen. I'm not objecting to it happening, but I have my doubts. And just to say that we're going to not revisit this now, but wait 2 months and revisit it, I think is in the wrong direction. And I think there's several things in here that I think would trigger the revisiting of it. So that's all I have.
Has mentioned that sometimes you're kind of backed into a corner. To me, it's not operating the way that it said it should in the other conditions. I'd be willing to listen to the commission and what their majority is. I feel like if you need a month or, you know, 2 meetings to find a solution before that happens, I'd be willing to consider that. but I wouldn't want it open-ended, and I wouldn't want it to just go on for months, as John was insinuating. So I do think we're all foreseeing a problem, and I would love to see a solution. And it's too bad it hasn't happened already, because there was multiple times that it could happen. You seem pretty possibly optimistic about that happening. So maybe there's a way to do it. I don't know if you've had somebody look at your site plan from a site planning stand, you know. Everybody else has to say, but overall, I do think there's an issue with it's not queuing the way that it was originally conditioned to queue. So I do have concern for that. So.
I think I'm in agreement. I mean, I think, you know, it clearly says that we can pull it if it's not being operated in a manner consistent with conditions of approval. The conditions of approval clearly say it has adequate queuing on its own property. We have heard that it doesn't. The city's trying to be proactive. I mean, we could just ignore it, let the shopping center go in, have some car accidents, have bad effects on your business, and then be here, you know, in a few years. And I don't think that's the right thing to do. I agree with Jennifer. I would love to see a solution. I would love it for you and the developer to get together and fix this so you can have a thriving business. I mean, I think the problem is, you know, it's kind of a victim of success. You know, your business has done well. We want to keep it here. We want it to be successful, but we don't want to create accidents. And I don't know that we can, you know, we can't make it someone else's problem. So I'm with seemed like he didn't have much patience to hear this anymore, but I think I'm with Jennifer. I don't want to have it open-ended. I don't want to say report back in 2 months, but I might say we'll give you a month. We won't hear it at our next meeting. We'll hear it in two meetings. That would give you some time maybe to have some discussions and come back. I mean, I think there are grounds, though. I think it's a separate thing. I think there are grounds for relooking at the conditional use permit. And then the question would be, could you solve that? And I would like you to be able to solve that. I'd like us to give you time so you can solve it. And maybe, as Jennifer's saying, there's a solution with site planning. I'm not a planner in the sense of a designer, so I'm not quite sure. But so that's where I am. I think that there clearly are grounds to bring it back. I don't feel we have to be in a big hurry to do it, though, because there's no, you know, that there's no immediate need, because the plans are still at the planning stage with the developer, and if that would give you a chance to work out a better solution, I would be in favor of that. So.
Hey, Krista, would you like to make some comments?
Sure. I agree really with what everyone said. I agree with opening up to see you. I think that who did the site plan or the planning commission, they misjudged the way that people are queuing. And I even think if people queued the way that the site plan said they were going to queue, I think you'd still have, sounds like sometimes you'd have even more people queuing. So I don't even know if that site plan would work, even if you had someone directing all those cars to pull up instead of hanging out. I don't see a lot of solutions, unfortunately, with working right on your piece of property. So I am really, really, really hopeful that you could talk to the developer and work out something. I don't know if you can. I hope you can. I am willing to give you a couple weeks, a couple meetings, a month maybe, and have you talk to the developer and see if you can work something out, because I do want to move on, but I don't see a lot of other options, but maybe a traffic engineer and architect would be able to figure that out if you can't gain that access.
You can specify any timeline within reason that you wish. You can even specify that you want to revisit it, but schedule it for a date uncertain. Or you can specify what you see as a reasonable timeline in two meetings, for example. I believe that would put you at June 18th. So that's also a possibility.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question to that, though? But once we open the CUP, we've opened it, right? I mean, we were talking about discussion before. Possibly there's a solution before we open it, but if we schedule it to reopen it, whatever the date or uncertain, then we've scheduled it to come back.
Well, yes, you schedule it, but we can withdraw the, if it's resolved, we can withdraw that.
Okay.
Or we can hold the meeting if necessary and say it's solved. So, and you might want to, if you choose to go the direction of scheduling the CUP, indicate the issue to be revisited so that it's not the kitchen sink, you know.
Kind of describing take some time. They're not stuff that happens within a week or 2 weeks. Usually, you know, people are busy. I just want to emphasize that it does take time in order to have the meaningful discussions that they're proposing, just so to keep that in mind.
Well, I just wanted to ask a question about the other project next door. I mean, is that going to the City Council at the next meeting?
The next step is the City Council. It's not on a current agenda yet.
Okay, and if they modify their plans, they'd have to come back through us again, the other developer? Would that start their process all over again?
Well, without talking specifically about a project not on tonight's agenda, just in general, and generally speaking, certainly, if plans change dramatically, it would require coming back to the Planning Commission. If they change probably not so dramatically, something you've seen, probably not.
We'd be talking about adjusting lot lines and everything, wouldn't we? Finding that it's being conducted in a manner detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare, or injurious to properties in the vicinities. I don't think any of us are wanting to open this up because we think you're injuring the other property. They are not our concern right now. We don't care about your effect on them. So don't think that we are pushing this because that is the aspect of this statement that is compelling us. It's about public health, safety, and welfare. It's about Grand Avenue. It's not about the shopping center. Just like we don't want you to be injurious to them, we don't want them to be injurious to you. You are separate units, and that's what we're trying to do, is keep them separate. I wish we had another choice, but I don't think we do. I do think we have to revisit the CUP. It was brought up because of the development going on in the shopping center, but it just highlighted an issue that I do think we need to revisit. I would be okay, I think, with doing it to a date uncertain to give staff flexibility. I would. I think I need to support the idea of opening up the CUP and bringing it back. And I guess I would propose a date uncertain. Okay. Any more comments? Oh, and I don't want this to be threatening. I don't want it to be opening up to being vindictive and trying to get everything out of you we can. I don't think that's the intent at all. So if we did want to limit it, that would be okay with me, too. Limiting the scope, didn't you say, Teresa, or specifying the scope of what we are looking for as far as the CUP?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay,
Yeah, just to comment on that, I would be okay with the date uncertain and looking at it, but there was stuff brought up about building codes, and, you know, we don't go back to projects and say, oh, you need to upgrade to building codes. So I need to, and I know that, and staff knows that, but make sure the property owner knows that, you know, the problem we're addressing, we talked about the restroom, we talked about the queuing, and if there's anything else that needs to be brought up, but not to make it... if the date uncertain is fine, as long as we specify a little bit of the what we're doing.
Okay. Does anyone have a motion that they would like to put up? And it's not a resolution, it's just that we review the conditional use permit. That we move to have a public hearing about the conditional use permit for Bob's Car Wash, correct?
So I guess I will move that we open up conditional use permit 93508, location 1203 East Grand Avenue and South Elm, to a date uncertain to address queuing and restroom issues. I don't know if that's...
Second for that motion?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? All right, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner.
Moving on to notice of administrative decisions, we have three items: people's self-help housing, a side setback reduction on Dos Cerros, and a new two-story house on 550 East Branch. Does anyone have anything they want to discuss on those?
Once again, I was at the ARC meeting where they talked about the people's self-help housing, and there was a lot of discussion there. Mostly they had budget shortfall basically between the time when they proposed the project and now when they actually went to buy the building materials, and things cost a lot more money today than they did when they proposed. And it was about $500,000 they were short. They wanted to keep the same integrity of the buildings, but they were trying to make cutbacks. So they made mostly just facade changes. The ARC was very thorough in going through and suggesting different types of materials and designs to try to make it look nice. And I think some of the ARC members actually thought it looked nicer at the end than before with some of the changes. And, you know, before it had more of a hotel look with railings and walkways and things. So I was...
It was... question on Dos Cerros, the side setback. Mm-hmm. If you are looking at the house, would that be on the left side?
From the court? If you're looking at from the court, it would be on the right side towards the open space.
Oh, okay. Because it looked to me like it was way close to the house on the left.
Those setbacks, I believe, are only 10 feet.
Okay.
So that may appear that way.
Okay. So I didn't even notice the other side, so I guess it wasn't that big a deal. All right.
And then on that same one, what's the reduction in the setback from what to what? Oh,
the original setback was 20 feet, uh-huh. And now it's 15 plus.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Nothing else? Commission communications? Anything? And staff communications?
None this evening.
All right. Thank you. I will entertain a...
shopping center. There was a mitigation measure in there that we had a lot of discussion about them being able to hold up the project by stopping them from doing pulling the building permit. Did that stay in or did that get taken out?
That's in. And it's either queuing on their side or documentation demonstration that the issue is solved. So it's either.
So that's the exact reason I didn't want it in there. They can hold up that project for.
And us revisiting the CUP is not document is not solving that?
Yes, it would.
Actually, once we do revisit it, not the process of revisiting it?
It could be solved before it gets back to you, or you could solve it. But again, now I'll cut off discussion because it's we've closed that agenda item.